Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here. If you missed any portion of our first hour, sure encourage you to get it. Monica Leo Klein was on. We talked about mind pollution. We talked about what they're doing to our children through the comprehensive sex education program, forcing on them pornography and grooming them. They have a new title now. It's called Minor Attracted Persons. Yes, they are preparing your 4 and 5 year old to accept overtures and groom them for pedophiles. That's what's going on in your school. It's happening all across America. We talked about it with Monica in the first half hour. Last half hour, Wayne Allen Root joined us on the program. So if you missed any of it, I encourage you to check it out. Very excited to have my next guest with me. He grew up in Brooklyn, New York. He's a proud son of a hardworking and loving single mom. His mom dedicated her time instilling in him the greatness requires sacrifice. And it's driven him as a devoted family man and a United States congressman, graduate of Florida State University. Congressman Byron Donalds, proudly serving the Southwest Florida District 19. Byron, welcome, Congressman. It's so good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
No, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, there's a great deal for us to discuss. Lots of stuff that's going on. I call him Pokem China Joe, and he has decided that we need to lock people down that are traveling now. Your thoughts with regards to that, and what might Congress do to try to mitigate that situation?
Oh, I mean, first of all, I'll say that I don't know what the president is doing. I don't know why they're doing it. Just by report from the doctors who first, you know, discovered this Omicron strain of COVID-19, this Omicron variant, they've basically said that the conditions have just been normal. Like, hey, people were sick, but they're not hospitalized or not even hospitalized for extended periods of time. So to go from that information to want to now do essentially travel quarantine, I just find it just be ridiculous and not based or rooted in science, unless there's something that the administration knows that the general public does not. And if that is the case, the administration and the president has the responsibility to release that information to the public and not hide it from the public. I would say secondarily, what is Congress going to do about it? Nothing. Because Nancy Pelosi backstops whatever Joe Biden wants to do. So she's not going to do anything about it. She's going to sit there and watch it, which paralyzes the House, which paralyzes Congress.
It's really scary when you think about it. I got an email this morning that outlines from several, you know, high-level world-class athletes that are experiencing and have experienced severe reactions to these injections. And these are people in, you know, in very good health. There's also a former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman, Ken Rutgers, whose wife Cheryl suffered a severe neurological reaction to Moderna's COVID-19 shot. And you know, shares stories about these kinds of things. So we're dealing with an experimental injection that there's a lot of evidence out there to support perhaps shouldn't even be being administered to the public, or at least you need to have consent and know what it is they're putting into your body.
I mean, look, I think that this is why we shouldn't have vaccine mandates at all. For what people make a decision to get a vaccine, they do that of their own volition. Mm-hmm. The federal government coming in and making you do it when, like you said, they're all of people who had adverse reactions, severe adverse reactions, or have died from the vaccine. And so to literally, we're going to just make people take it, to me, is it's highly irresponsible. We had a meeting in the Small Business Committee with the Solicitor General of the United States. And, you know, I basically asked her, I said, if you, like the employer mandate they wanted to do that was stayed by the Fifth Circuit, but if they wanted to do that and somebody gets sick or somebody dies, who's liable? Is the United States government liable? Is the small business owner liable? Like, who's liable for that? Because I will assure you that if took a vaccine because they were forced to and they get severely ill or have a severe condition, mm-hmm. or they pass away, the family members are not going to sit there and be like, oh, well, it's okay because we're stopping the virus. They're going to want to hold somebody accountable, and it'll be well within their rights to hold somebody accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and it has to make you wonder, Congressman, if they are giving these immunities to, you know, the Modernas and the Pfizers, if they're giving, immunities to the employer, well, why would you give immunity unless you anticipate that there's going to be some kind of a problem? It just doesn't add up. Am I making sense?
No, you make total sense. It doesn't add up. But again, nothing that this administration's doing makes actual sense. I mean, you have a situation where they put travel lockdowns or travel bans from South Africa and surrounding countries, yet you can come across our border illegally, basically untouched, no, and you're COVID positive, and we still take you into the country. So there is no logic stream that's coming out of this White House. It's all politics. It's about political science, not actual science.
Now, there's another thing that is that's going on that has to do with the gun laws. And my understanding is that the Senate Democrats are trying to run down to the floor a bill called H.R. 8, which would institute universal background registration checks that's predicated on this most recent shooting that took place. And of course, you know, it's terrible, and it's in the news in the school, what happened in the school with the three people that were killed and eight that were injured. But they're using that now to try to push forward this universal background registration check. I understand there is a way that people can get involved in making phone calls with regards to this. Have you heard anything about this? Are you familiar with this at all, sir?
Well, that's a bill that passed out of the House earlier this year. The Democrats rammed it through. Every Republican voted against it. So now it's just sitting in the Senate. So now, yeah, they're trying to move it in the Senate. I mean, look, here's what I know. The shooting in Michigan, I'm still getting information about it now. But one of the things that has been made clear as of this morning is that the gunman in question actually had a meeting with school officials and like his parents, like that day. And like, or the parents of, I'm sorry, the parents of some of the kids who lost their lives were meeting with school officials about this kid. And that the issues were so bad, what the school did is they sent the kid back to class. And so, like, literally, like, later that day, that's when he committed this atrocity, this tragedy. But the issue is about, when it comes to gun laws, is that the gun laws are not going to fix the problems. Because if you look at any mass shooting or any school shooting that has occurred, the perpetrator either stole their guns or they acquired the guns illegally. Very rarely does the person who does this actually legally purchase their firearms. They either acquire them illegally or they steal them from somebody else who's a law-abiding gun owner. And so when we bring these facts to the Democrats, we say nothing, that there's no law that you have here in Congress that would stop what actually occurred, because the assailant already broke the law to mm-hmm. acquire the guns in the first place. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming majority of people who buy their guns legally don't do these things. Like, it's not even overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly understates the fact. It's universal, because it's crystal clear. If you look at any mass shooting going back a decade, the perpetrator basically steals the weapons or acquires them illegally. So what we should be doing, and I've been consistent on this for quite some time, is we need to be actually looking at mental health issues in the United States, not so much looking at gun laws. because it's really, it's a heart condition of the perpetrator as to why somebody would go and commit these heinous acts, you know, in our, sure, in our society.
Sure. Well, and that goes back to, you know, kind of one of the things that we talked about in our first hour, too, is the kind of education and the things they're doing to our children. What Monica talked a bit about, Monica Leo Klein talked about, was how the schools, through the comprehensive sex education program, are dehumanizing the kids. So the kids, yep, are taught that they're not human beings, that they are just animals with sexual tendencies, and they're taught that from a very young age, and they're taught that life doesn't matter. If you're killing babies and you're euthanizing the elderly, right? I mean, show me where these children are being raised to realize that they have some kind of real intrinsic value and that life matters, both theirs and the lives around them.
And I actually tend to agree with you. I think that's a major issue we have. You know, what's happening in our schools, you know, like you said, is that we're, it is dehumanizing, but it's also getting rid of the individual aspects of people. We're trying to break kids down into large groups based upon race, based upon sex, unfortunately, yes, based upon gender fluidity, as opposed to recognizing the individuality and the individual humanity of every one of these kids and why that's a precious thing. And so it is destructive of a culture overall, because if people don't have individual identity, if there's no individual agency, then it's easy to just break other groups down. It's easy to segregate or to discriminate against broad sections and broad groups, because you don't recognize people as people. You recognize them as a grid in some demographic research study.
And of course, when you do that, then, you know, and then the child becomes frustrated, and you teach children too that how they feel and their emotions are the most important thing, that you know, that's what matters, is how Johnny feels about a particular situation. When those feelings are hurt, they don't know how to manage those feelings, because they're taught that somebody else should adjust predicated on how they feel that day. And so there's this reaction, this very violent reaction that takes place. And in part, it has a lot to do, again, with, you know, the loss of the sense of individual value. And I think you've made a very important point, and we can talk about this some more when we come back after this break. And that is, you know, teaching individuals. You mentioned in your biography that your mom taught you about your value, about how your life mattered and made a difference and could make a difference, and how hard work was a big portion of you becoming the congressman that you are today, the graduate of Florida State University, the successes in your life, and teaching your children and your family those same principles. And that is really what America is truly about. And I'd love to talk to you some about that when we get back from this break. My guest, Congressman Byron Donalds, is with us. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.
Hi. This is Michael, creator of Michael's MNP supplements. Let's talk energy. Do you wake up tired even after a full night's sleep? Does keeping up with your family and or your job leave you exhausted by noon? Do you find yourself turning way too early in the day and too often to caffeine-loaded drinks just to get you through it all? Why not turn to Michael's MNP's Energy Factors instead? Our Energy Factors are safe, healthy, and a natural way to keep your body energized and without that caffeine crash that you get from those laden drinks. Visit us today at michaelshealth.com.
This is Pastor Greg, and I use Energy Factors. They're great. Order yours today at michaelshealth.com. That's michaelshealth.com. And use Pastor Greg for your special discount. That's Pastor Greg, and get your special discount today. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Now back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And this is Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for tuning in. I so greatly appreciate it. Did you know Matthew 10 tells us, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I want to encourage you in this Thanksgiving time that God has a plan, has a purpose, and he's working it out. And he wants you to be a part of it. And you can through Jesus Christ, his son. If you've never professed faith in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that today. Simply pray this prayer. Father, please forgive me for all my sins. Take them away from me and help me to become the person that you created me to be. I desire to have relationship with you. And I ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of my life. I put my faith in him and I believe on the promises that you've made. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, reach out to me and let me know. I'd love to hear from you today. And know this, we are God's chosen generation, chosen for such a time as this. And every day when you listen to the program and you hear the opening that we play, that is a reminder of who you and I are. God bless you and have a great rest of your day.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Congressman Byron Donalds is my guest, and want to be sure and welcome our audience on TECN-TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network, the number one urban online television network in America. And we are now partnered with NTD. Also, those listening on the Truth Broadcasting Network, the Noble Radio Network, and our independent stations on both Salem and good friends in KYH in Utah, as well as our independent stations across the country. It's great to be with all of you. Well, I'm very pleased, Congressman, having you with us. We were talking about, and you mentioned about how in the schools there's this effort to try to segregate, create racial division, and of course a lot of that is really attested to CRT and that issue. You've got three sons that you're raising. As you talk to them about America and about the opportunities in America, what are some of the things that you want young people to know, irrespective of the color of their skin, about America?
I mean, the first thing is I tell them, like, they literally hit the lottery if they're born in America in the last, you know, 25, 30 years. I mean, look, the reality is, do we have a history? Yeah, we have a history. Nobody denies it. The history is what it is. But if you're a you know, a person of color born in the United States the last 30 years, you literally have hit the lottery in terms of where to be born in the history of the planet. Like, there's not a different time, any other city, any other country, any other time where you would want to be born. And that just goes to just how open and all the opportunities that are available in our country. And so, you know, I try to tell, you know, young kids, I was like, would you rather be born in America today or in America 100 years ago? And if you think that it doesn't matter, then you have no idea what our history actually is. And you have no appreciation for the progression that America has made in the last 100 years. Would you rather be born in America today, or would you rather be born in England in the 1700s? If you say England in the 1700s, you have no idea what you're even talking about. And so I think that's where I start. Number two is that, you know, because we're a merit society, you know, regardless of what the Democrats try to do or what they think, we're largely a merit society. And so because of that, you have an ability to get educated. You have an ability to really find whatever your passions are in life. And then it's up to you to work at it, to grind at it. And there, you know, you can just do it. Nobody's really going to stop you mm-hmm. from doing it. As a matter of fact, most people would rather hope you quit, because that means that you get out of their way from trying to accomplish, you know, what they're doing. Sure. So they get caught up in what, you know, political speak, or, you know, these word salads that come from the left and all the jargon they use to try to get you to think that it's not possible for you in your life, I think is a real discredit to young kids of color. And it's a discredit to the country, because that's not the America that actually exists. That's the social political view of America that some people have. With my own sons, it's real basic. I just tell them, I'm like, listen, work hard. Whatever you're gifted at, whatever talents God has given you, you have a leg up over most people in the world in that area or in that field. But if you don't work, somebody's going to catch you and they're going to surpass you. If you don't work and if you don't put your hand to the grindstone, there's always going to be somebody else who is going to work. So it's really up to you. If you choose not to work, I mean, you're my son, I love you, but you will be a bum and you won't live in my house. You go live somewhere else. because that's just not how I'm, that's just not me. I'm not built like that.
Yeah.
You know, I just told my sons, like, I like to have a good time. You know, we can do that. But as long as you're handling your business and as long as you're putting forward the best effort and the best effort, not a effort, the best effort.
Right.
Then you'll be successful in life. And if you don't put forward that best effort, then you can't be mad at anybody else. Last thing I tell my sons, especially when they start getting into high school, is that, you know, those first 8 years of school, that was cute. But now it counts. Like, now it's for real. And you can't wait around till you graduate high school and be like, okay, now I'm going to take life seriously. And I think if there's anything in the United States that we do wrong is that in high school, we don't really implore in our students and in the kids in America how important those teenage years are. We you know, treat it like almost like it's an extended adolescence, and it's not. Mm-hmm. Because those decisions count when it comes to the rest of your life.
And of course, you know, scripturally speaking, it says to do everything as unto the Lord. So you should do everything that you do with excellence. And that's what you're really talking about, Congressman, is making that effort. And if you don't, if you choose not to, if you choose, as you said, to just be slacking, that's not on anybody else. You can't point your finger and look around and say, well, you know, I wasn't treated this way, or I wasn't. No, you didn't make the effort. You didn't try. You didn't put in your best effort. And America is a place, as you said, it's the greatest place on earth, and opportunities abound.
Look, and not to cut you off, but I mean, you were talking about the feelings of young people, and a lot of things are based on how they feel as opposed to what things are. Mm. I think that's a tremendous downside for kids. I tell my sons, like, nobody cares about your feelings. Like, I care about your feelings. Your mother cares about your feelings. Nobody else cares. So no matter what's going on in that day, if your teachers or your coaches are requiring something of you, you have to respond. How you feel is largely irrelevant. And so, you know, I think that I think what we've done in society and with schools trying to build the self-esteem of kids, Now what's happened is, like, everybody has to feel good in order to perform.